Joel?
2, 3, 1.
Who's the best show here? Back Show! Who's the best show here? Back Show! All
right,
that's
good. That's the best one yet.
I am sure.
Pizza, pizza.
Bingo! Showtime!
It's about fucking time someone else is.
When you were making egg poo young in the kitchen, I was in the dining room having sushi.
It's the Limousine Tech Show, and that's fact. If you don't like the gas, you can stick it up your ass. Ain't no funny duddies that are looking bad. But the stolen could go back to DLMGS. Download and I see challenges on LinuxLink.net. Bound Tech Show. Just sit right there, close the castle, just about to begin.
Welcome to episode 952. On the show tonight, we have Pat.
Back from the dead, baby.
We have Joe.
Yep, I'm here.
And we have Joel.
Good evening.
And what is it you have, Pat, that we're going to talk about right off the bat?
We got a new computer finally, new desktop.
Oh, awesome.
Oh, a desktop. Wow.
Yeah, yeah, I got one of these refurbished deals. I got a Dell Optiplex 9020 tower. So it's an Intel Core i7 fourth generation, 3.4 gigahertz processor, 32 gig RAM, 1 terabyte SSD, DVD writer. And I also got a new audio interface too. I got a Sterling H214 interface. So I'm pretty happy. I just got it today. I'm really impressed with the computer. I was expecting, you know, piece of crap. I paid for like $450 plus tax, and you know, this is a, you know, corporate lease
refurb, right?
Yeah, refurb. But it's fucking immaculate. It's fucking clean, no dings, really nice shape, and it seems to be pretty damn fast. It's fastest anything I've had. So, I was due for some new hardware, man. All my stuff is old and crusty. So I also got a new audio interface. I got a Sterling low latency external interface device, mostly for audio recording for music stuff. But I'm using it right now to talk to you guys, and it sounds pretty good. The latency is fucking awesome. Like, I have this. What is it, a Behringer UMC? Like,
the UCA 202?
No, I got the 404 UMC. The 404 UMC.
Oh, okay. 404.
And that worked okay for, like, you know, doing the show and stuff and talking to you guys. But, like, when I was doing, like, audio recording, I was getting latency. And it's basically a delay. And it's noticeable. And when you're doing, like, you know, audio recordings, music, and you're punching in and out and stuff, it has to be instant, you know. You can't be hearing a delay.
Right.
So I was hearing like a quarter second delay, and it was enough that it would like distract you when you were trying to fucking do a part or something. And it was almost like an echo. And this new device here, this new Sterling card, it's zero latency, man. It's instant. So I've been trying some, like, you know, a lot of the recording stuff now for music, it's all digital now. And it used to be, you know, only the keyboard guys used to get all the, you know, the MIDI and the digital and samples and all that stuff. And now it's gotten to the point where, like, guitarists and bass players can use it too. They have, like, software-based amplifiers and effects. And, you know, you have a digital audio workstation, which is basically, you know, it's like Audacity, but better, you know, or DAW, you know. But and I've been playing with, I like our DAW, what the guy was doing and everything, and I appreciate all the work that guy's done. But I know a lot of people were giving a lot of praise to Reaper, which was written by the guys who did the Winamp application back in the day. Those guys made an ass ton of money selling it to whoever at the time. So those guys are set for life. So after they did Winamp, they started doing Reaper, which is, you know, a DAW, multi-track recording. And they have versions for it for Linux, Mac, Windows. So, you know, they give the full thing, you know, the full application, full support, current version to Linux, You know, it's very affordable. Some of these digital audio workstation commercial applications, they're fucking expensive. Like, you know, a lot of people use Pro Audio Tools or Cubase, and those things are expensive, man. They're like $400-$500. Where Reaper, it's only $60 for the full version, and it's fucking fantastic application. So I've been playing with that. I've been reading up on tutorials. You know, the interface is very similar to other digital audio workstations. You know, it basically mimics a sound mixer. You know, like back in the day, you go into a music studio, recording studio, and they would have, you know, tape machines with these big consoles, you know, with knobs, sliders, and everything. So these digital, you know, recording apps, they pretty much mimic that, but it's come a long way and it's very powerful. So That's what I'm doing. I've been getting up to speed. I've been watching some tutorials on Reaper. There's a couple guys that do a really good job. And, you know, there's some courses that you could take if you want. So I'm just learning right now. You know, they have this whole thing that are called plugins, VST plugins. And you could basically import synthesizers and drum machines and virtual guitar amps and bass amps and effects. And it's a little overwhelming, but it's very powerful stuff. And, you know, the price has come down and the level entry is much lower than what it used to be. So I'm gonna try some. I think I'm ready to get into some new distros. I want to check some new stuff out. I don't know. I was thinking maybe.
Ubuntu Workstation was pretty cool, but
yeah, I'm very familiar. I want to try something different. I was thinking of trying Manjaro. Are you familiar with that one?
Yep.
I was thinking of maybe giving that one a try.
Yeah, it's nice. The one thing I like about it, I have an install of it on one of my older laptops, and the terminal like is actually rather pretty, which is kind of strange to me a little bit.
No, that's Arch-based, I like it, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, so it's all basically the whole Arch infrastructure.
Yeah.
So what do they do?
And there's like any desktop you want, you can get on Arch. I mean, if you don't like GNOME, you can run KDE. If you don't want that, you can run LXDE. You can run
Cinnamon
Fluxbox. What do you like? What do you like?
Cinnamon.
Yeah, Cinnamon's good. I've been a Plasma fan. Yeah. Yeah.
So I'll probably give that a try, maybe a couple different ones. I don't know. We'll see. But it's nice and fast. I'm liking it. I'm digging it. Terabyte SSD, so. And I got the NAS, so I got plenty of storage space.
Cool.
I'm kind of like, wow. The download for Reaper was only 11 megabytes.
I know. Isn't that fucking awesome? Now they give you a free trial. They say 60 days, but even after 60 days, it keeps working. So, you know, you can keep using it without paying for it, but $60 is nothing really, man, for a commercial quality app.
Yep.
And it's super powerful. There's no limit to the amount of tracks and stuff that you can plug in there.
And it looks like, do they still have a 32-bit? Binary too.
They support them.
And ARM as well.
Yeah. It's pretty very cool. Small footprint Reaper. Like I was playing around a little bit on my crappy old laptop that was made in like 2000, and it ran fine. No latency issues. You know? So on this fast machine, it should fucking fly.
I'll download it. Maybe give it a try for my next show.
It's really nice. It's really, really nice. There's a ton of built-in plugins for it. You know? Compression, EQs, a whole bunch of stuff.
Wait.
Hey, here's the fun thing there. The Windows version will even work online under Linux if you don't want to. Which, I don't get that, but all right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
See, the big thing with, like, a lot of these audio apps, you know, they have these plugins. There's very few that are natively compiled onto Linux. And it's kind of annoying. You can get them running with Wine. You know, up. It's a little bit of a hassle to get them going. And there's so much stuff out there, like drum machines and, you know, virtual guitar amps. You know, this is one application. It's called Amplitude, and it's basically every freaking digital version of every amp available, with all these different effects and stuff. Now you can spend like $200 on that and get everything the world, or you can get like a free version and you can get like packs for like 10, 15 bucks, and it's a little more reasonable, you know. I got a free version because I had a new pedal I picked up, and they gave you the free version of it with a bunch of packs installed by default. So you know, just on that by itself, it seems pretty good. You know, the old way to like record guitars is basically you get an amp, you put a microphone in the front of the thing and record it, and that was your sound. Now the way to do it is you get one of these audio interfaces, you plug the guitar in direct, and you open up the DAW application, and you fire up one of these virtual amps, you record that. What's nice about that is you can go back and change the sound completely. You can change the amp that you're using, the settings within the amp, the effects that you're using. So it just opens up the possibilities. You know? Same thing with like drums. You know, drums. You know, if you do like analog drums, that's the sound you got pretty much. And you know, you can tweak the compression and the EQ and reverb and that kind of stuff. But you're probably better maybe going with MIDI, getting like a MIDI control drum pad. With a drum plugin, recording that, and then you can go back and change your sounds after the fact 100%. So it's very flexible, and like a lot of these professionals are using this now. Like, you know, Joe Satriani, it's a phenomenal guitarist, has been around forever. You know, he just came out with a new album, and he's like he did it 100% digital. He didn't record like any real amps or anything. He went in direct, using all these plugins, and it sounds fucking great.
That's pretty neat.
Yeah, it's come a long way, this stuff.
That's like, now, I always wanted to do we've been streaming since before the pandemic, our church services. And we recently went away from using a PC to do it entirely, and we're just using it. We have a Blackmagic video mixing board, which can do a lot of the things that we need to do. That's just because the PC we had was like 3 or 4 years old, and it's just getting long on the tooth, you know, and streaming 1080p video every Sunday can be pretty taxing on that system, so. And that and it runs on Windows using some software called vMix. And it was just horrible. So I haven't done a lot of the mixing lately. We've had one lady who's been doing them almost every Sunday. And I'm usually roaming the audience taking pictures. But so yeah, PC device, you know, I'm wondering, when is it just going to be they just release a tablet that has all the audio connections you need to make to replace, you know, either like a video mixer or an audio mixer, you know? I think that's probably coming.
Well, they make tablets with USB-C and Thunderbolt, yeah. So...
Yep, it's not that far away. They just have the right, right, you just have to have the right interface. But, and that's how they built a lot of, like, I remember when this show was really early on, like when the Samsung UMPCs were out, that they were actually taking those and like adding those audio connections to those and running Ardour on top of them, which is impressive. Granted, audio doesn't take a lot of computing resources.
It does if you got, like, you know, 100 tracks of audio going.
That's, yeah. Yeah. That's about the only time. But cool stuff, man.
Yeah, it's awesome. So, yeah. It'll be fun.
I have to say, I'm impressed that they have, like, ARM versions.
Yeah, right.
It runs pretty well. I had it running on my old crappy laptop that's like 15 years old. And it ran fine.
Now I just need to find libfontconfig.
What are you running on, Dan? What kind
Fedora.
Of
Fedora, my pain in the ass. Why is... What provides font...
Can you call my name?
I'm sorry. What was I saying? Maybe it's just font config. Oh, there's so many font configs. I would thought I would have had font config installed. Right?
Hmm.
That seems like something that should be installed.
One would think, yes.
Let's see. Oh, you know what's not slow? It already is. It is installed. You know what's not slow? Is Arch Linux.
That makes sense.
Yeah, I'm missing one.
What, you running like something like Fluxbox on it, or what are you running?
No, just the package manager on Fedora is like really slow for me.
Oh, that's right.
How could this not? I feel like I'm back in 2005 trying to find font config for like lib font config. You'd think it would be part of font config.
What desktop are you using though? KDE?
I'm using Ice Window Manager right now on this one. No.
What manager? I'm sorry.
Ice Window Manager.
Got funky.
Ice.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Well, there's your problem.
Why would that be a problem? Why would whatever window manager or desktop environment I'm using affect the speed of the package manager? That makes sense.
Okay. Yeah. You got a point on that. But yeah. But it's like, no. I'm thinking about the font manager thing, not the package manager. But yeah. But yeah, like you go and install, if you install like a desktop like GNOME or KDE, that's all done for you with the overriding package command, you know. So, because I did the same thing, I reloaded there's a desktop called Qt now.
Qtie?
Yep, I think so. Let me see, I need to...
Qt something, whatever.
No, it's not. It's not based on a Q.
It's based on Qt.
Why?
Hold on.
Why should?
Let me go look.
What? So it tells me font config. What is that? RPM QA grep font config. It's installed. How do you tell what files are installed on an RPM package?
I used to remember.
It's RPM what?
Qtfish OS is the name. It's the name of a distribution, but you can download the desktop, and actually, it's installable in Arch pretty easily, and probably any other distro too. There you go. And it's pretty damn fast too. But you gotta like Mac, because it's kind of a little bit styled like it if you don't like the Mac OS. But I'm sure it's infinitely more configurable. Uses a, yeah, it actually does. Okay. I'm sorry, it does use a Qt widget set, Qt Quick, and some KDE basic frameworks.
Oh, wait, I wonder. All right, so it's looking for. So it's trying to find libfonconfig.so.1. And that should be installed. libfonconfig.so.1. Why is it not finding it?
I don't know, man.
That's what I say. I don't know either. Let me see if I can just run it from. No. Man, why is lib... That's weird because lib... I can do the old-fashioned thing.
Probably the best thing with Ice Window Manager.
What?
Do it the old-fashioned way.
Let's see. SO.1 here. This is terrible.
Oh, he's in RPM hell now.
I shouldn't do this. I should not do this.
It'll be just like the show where you compiled the kernel.
Wait, what was I doing before? How can it not find libfontconfig? It is in my... libfont... fontconfig.so.1. I did it. You know what? I need to go back to Arch on this main thing. I can't believe I'm having this horribly slow. Yeah, you know what? I need to get a new hard drive in this thing. Because it used to have like what was it? A 250 gig hard drive in it or something like that, and then it died. Yeah, it was an SD drive. So I replaced it with the only drive I had in the house. I think that was only a 50 gig drive.
Oh boy.
I know, it stinks. Let me see. My root partition has 22 gigs associated to it. 17 of those are taken up by all the stuff I have installed. And my home... Well, you know what? No. Yeah, it's little under 100 gigs, I think. Because my root partition is 22 gigs, and my home partition is 76 gigs. So it's just under 100 gigs. So I'm off by about 100 gigs of... I you know what? The drive might have been larger than 250. I don't know. I gotta... That's the question. Do I buy a new drive and increase the storage, or do I just save up and buy a new laptop or a new system, a desktop system? I'm like, what? Why should I? I don't know.
Well,
I always...
What's your processor and what's your RAM?
I have 8 gigs of RAM. What is cat proc CPU info? It is a, oh my goodness, a 11 gigahertz processor. Wait, is that right? Wait, I'm looking at, it's a genuine Intel Core i5 6200U at 2.3 gigahertz.
Well, that's not bad, but
no,
might also
no,
it's not that slow.
Might have to upgrade the RAM too, so it depends. Hard drives are pretty cheap, even SSDs now, so
if you can get the one you want.
I wish it was 11 gigahertz. That'd be nice. Well, that'd be something. They even have 11 gigahertz processors.
Not yet.
No, I didn't
that's
think
probably
so.
20 years off.
So this is, you know, it's not, it's a decent system. It's just I keep running into the problem of storage space, and it could use a little more RAM in there. Yeah. But I think that's one of the things where I can't add RAM to it. I have to replace the
Oh.
You know what I mean? Okay, yeah. Is this a laptop? So I'd have to...
Which laptop is it?
It's a Dell.
What, an XPS 13?
No. Jeez, I can't even see. Like, where do they even... I wish they would put the model somewhere where you can see the model. I can't read it because I don't have my wife's old lady glasses to see that old. Final.
You know what, man? Wait. Maybe you just need to get some freaking bifocals.
Yeah, no kidding. Wait, let me see if I could do this. Wait, usually if I come on, phone, don't fail me now.
Some progressive ones. Oh, you're trying to take a picture of it?
I'll take a picture of it and zoom in on the zoom in on the picture. It is
it's a what?
It is a take a service freaking tag and look it up online. Why don't they print like why don't they put the model on here? Why can't I find them?
Because it's all handled online now. Because everyone's online, right?
All right. This is what I have to do.
Yep.
Got to go to support.dell.com.
The model in the name of the computer. So that way, when you open up command line, it tells you what it is.
Yeah, it could be in sysinfo.
Sysinfo?
Yeah, or whatever app that there's like a system app on GNOME and KDE that would probably have the model number in it.
Even like, well, all that stuff's got to be pulled out from proc, doesn't it?
I think so. Yeah, you might be able to cap some in proc.
So you know what? Hold on a second. I'm just gonna look it up by the service tag.
Your name line in your terminal might have your model number.
It doesn't.
Oh.
Yeah.
No, it just has my host name in it.
Yeah, and he calls it something weird like I do too. Like my one Linux box is called Beast. It would put that in there.
What, you know what?
Figure out.
They used to be okay, service tag or serial. Okay, good. Thank goodness. Here we go.
Here you go. So much fun listening to this.
Oh my goodness. Is that a zero or like that's service tag number. Yeah, I'm looking at the wrong number. There we go. Why won't it accept my service tag number? Maybe because it's too old.
That's a possibility.
D75FJ72. Service tag SN. Oh, this is a pain in the ass. It is Dell.
A Google search on that. On the tag.
Yeah.
Oh, wait. Did I put this? D75F, D75F, J72. I used to know what this was. But isn't every service tag unique in Dell?
Yeah,
it should be.
Most of it probably is generic.
Why? Maybe it's so old it doesn't have it in their system anymore.
Only like 5 years old.
Why is their search thing like their search button doesn't even? Do I have to sign in first? That can't be right. I don't know. Next topic. I'll find this. Dude, this drives me up a freaking wall. Maybe I'll do the serial number.
Yep. Well, I've had a long week so far, like a 12-hour plus day yesterday, as well as a pretty long day today. And I forget which version of WSO2. WSO2 is a identity manager or single sign-on software. So that's kind of what I've been dealing with most of the week. But there's a new CVE on it where it has a remote. The exploit can drop remote files onto a server or files onto a remote server via the exploit, which is bad. So we're setting up new servers just to get off of the old version and onto the more secure version, the one that has everything patched. And so we resetting up the login pages and basically adjusting the style sheet and all that stuff. And the one thing I noticed was it was my work laptop has a, I want to say probably a 3K screen. It's not a 4K screen, but it's a much higher resolution than either of my outboard screens. One of them is just a 1080p screen. The other one's like not even that. And what I discovered is that seems to be a Chrome issue. I think it had to do with how the CSS scaled the image that we had involved. But the image on the low res screen would be cut off on the bottom and be perfectly fine everywhere else. And this is only in Chrome, the latest version. Okay. And we ended up having to add some. I think they added a margin around the image, which seemed to cure it. So, and it, not only that, but it would also go from really nice looking and sharp on my main laptop display, then on my 1080p screen, it would be kind of fuzzy too. So it's just a strange thing. Firefox didn't seem to have it. I didn't try it in a Edge, but yeah, since I have a Windows laptop currently, but. But that's been my week because we decided for at least this one client, we removed them from, we still had servers belonging to, their domain. So we just had to move them to a different domain. And that took a long time. So I had to go through every little nitty gritty detail and fix it all. So, and it's not quite over yet, but we're almost there. The non-prod and non-prods are all good. They just wanted us to keep the non-prod shut down for a day, another day.
So this was for the single sign-on?
Yeah, WSO2 is the name of the open source project.
Oh, okay. I know what it is. Man, that sucks.
Yep, it wasn't as bad as Log4j, but...
Do you want to know what my problem was?
Can
you guess what the problem is? And I kind of thought this might be the problem.
Out of drive space?
It really freaking annoys me. I'm talking about trying to find out the model of Inspiron. Oh, the model of Dell. I found out the model. The problem was not that I wasn't putting in a service tag right. It's the damn site doesn't work with Firefox. Or at least it's not working with my version of Firefox that I have in here. Switch, so I went and tried it on Google Chrome, and it worked fine. Like, it won't let me search with Firefox, and I don't know why. I don't have time to figure it out, but it's an Inspiron 5559, which...
Ooh, that's old.
Yeah, the support service status expired on the 19th of March, 2017.
Does it have the soldered on RAM?
No, it doesn't. I would have
to upgrade your RAM then.
Yeah, I would have to I could replace the RAM. It's just I think there's only one RAM slot in there.
Get a 16 gig stick.
Yeah, so I couldn't just add more RAM to it. I'd have to replace what I have.
I mean, it's still going to be DDR3, but
yeah.
It's better than 8 gig.
Parts and accessories.
Mm-hmm.
I wish they had. I wish. I don't want diagnostic. I just want to see. I would like to have a nice, like, picture of the motherboard. That would be nice.
Go on YouTube.
I guess, yeah, I could. I could. That's probably a lot. Oh, look, the service manual. Let's look at the service manual. Page isn't working. That's great. That is beautiful. The page isn't working. Well, what do you expect? It was from 2015, right? Service manual was published in 2015. Why would I expect that to work anymore, right?
Well, it sounds like it's a decent laptop.
No, it is. I love the laptop.
Well, it's just like Apple kicking old apps out of their app store. Yeah, that's going to become a thing. There's an article where if an app hadn't been updated in, they said, quite some time. They didn't define what that time is because, you know, transparency, yeah, I guess isn't a thing with Apple. So they gave them 30 days to put an update out or they're going to take their app off the App Store. Never mind that the software literally could be done. As in, there's no need to update it because it's a game or something like that, you know.
App that doesn't need updating.
There are apps that are like that.
Shit. It's too...
I mean, how often do you have to update a calculator app?
Exactly. We'll see if it actually sticks. You know, I don't... yes, they're trying to make the Apple the platform more stable or safe for people, and I'm like, well, but then you still end up letting stuff through. So eventually, there's that.
I know that there were those the apps that they accidentally let through that said they were one thing and then turned out to be tethering apps.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
So it looks like I have to get it. It is two memory, two RAM sticks in there. It would be there's 2 4 gigs in there right now. I'd have to replace it with 2 8 gigs.
Mm-hmm. Well, since it's DDR3, it's not going to be excessively expensive.
No, it looks like Newegg, I can get it for $45.
Yeah.
Although, why is Dell... Why, when I look up the memory upgrade, Dell says... Dell 8 gigabyte memory upgrade, DDR4. Why are they saying DDR4?
Could it support that?
No, not from 2015, I don't think.
Yeah, I don't know, man.
Maybe, but I don't think so.
See, compatible RAM. Why? Yeah, everything I'm seeing is like DDR3. Why is Dell saying DDR4?
Because they don't sell DDR3 anymore?
Well, that's probably it. And then I'll order it off of Dell, and it won't work, and then I'll call them up, and they're like, well, you can't return the memory, so we'll just deduct it off the price of a brand new laptop if you want. That will take DDR4. I'm like, no thanks. Anyway, no reason to belabor this fact of this old machine. Works great. It could use a memory upgrade and a storage upgrade.
It's just like this old house.
Does it already have an SSD?
You know what? I don't know if I put an SSD. I replaced it with an SSD. It might not be an SSD.
You may have like a 3.5-inch SSD.
Then for you.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm trying. Is there a way to tell through There is. Is there a way to tell in?
Yeah. If you go to disks, then it should tell you the model number, which should tell you if it's an SSD or not.
Yep. I'm pretty sure you don't have an NVMe slot in it, probably.
Maybe.
He could, but...
Possible.
If I go to disks... Again, I'm running Ice Window Manager. Let me see. System. This is the problem with running these... I never use these applications, and then I'm trying to find out what would it be? I thought it would be hard HD info.
Last piece, no.
Oh, maybe
what operating system are you running?
I'm running Fedora. I know there's an application I can run. I just don't remember what it is.
I don't remember on Fedora.
But I could just run whatever GNOME's is.
Gparted.
Gparted?
GNOME would be disk.
Yep. Gparted. It's a disk partition.
Yeah, it's just like...
It uses parted. In the next episode, Dan's just going to go back to Slackware.
Yeah, I should. Like, all I want is... I know there's a way to do it, and I can't remember.
Oh. He's going to go to Slackware, and he's going to upgrade the kernel during the show.
Again.
He's done that before.
I know, that's why I'm saying it. And I think the whole stream crashed.
Loading list.
Back when we were using books.
Here we're back to DNF again. Will it? I'm not sure DNF. LSHW might. I'm not sure if it's going to show me the disk information. Oh. Hardware lister. Let's do it. Let's do it. Let's install it. LSHW. We'll find out in just a minute here whether it's going to
install Gparted.
I should have. Right. You know what? Why isn't Gparted installed?
Why isn't Gparted in like every distribution ever?
Right.
Why is Gparted only in the live version of Linux Mint, which you have to install it manually?
What's the KDE version? Not Gparted. Oh, KDE Partition Managed.
Okay. Here we go. Oh, does it have an IS? It has an IS. Yeah, everything.
Yeah.
Oh my god, this is too much information. Let's go with let's put it out to HTML.
There you go. Then browse it in IceWeasel.
GNOME disk utility. What? what is it's Fedora? No, what's the installer for Fedora? Been a while. Yumdog. What, yum install gnome dash disk dash utility?
Oh man, I gotta say, LSHW, and you'd put it out to the HTML, it would have told me all the information I wanted to begin with.
And then maybe a bit.
So it's okay. System memory, 8 gigabytes. 4 gigabyte bank and another 4 gigabyte bank. So let's see. If it's showing me this much information so far, it has to have my disk in here somewhere. And unfortunately, there's... Okay, so here's my SATA controller. It's a Toshiba disk. It's an ATA disk. Toshiba MK.
Did you say ATA?
Yeah.
Oh.
Description, ATA disk. That would explain why this thing is so damn slow.
I didn't think that they were still doing, like, ATA disks in 2015.
You know what? Wouldn't. First off, you're making a radical assumption that that the disk is from 2015. Again, I said I had to replace this disk with one that I had.
Well, no, if it's running an ATA disk as opposed to, you know, an SATA disk, then right. I say replace the whole thing.
Right. But, oh, it is an S. It says a SATA.
SATA, yeah.
SATA, right? Why is it showing up here, though, as an ATA?
The SATA is still SATA.
Yeah. But that's not, that's not a, that's not S, what's the word I'm looking for now? It's not a SD. It's not an SD drive, right? No.
That I don't think it is. Just because it says it's a SATA drive, that doesn't mean it's not, you know, an SSD. Does it say the model number? You said it said Toshiba
it's a,
what?
Toshiba MK127 GSX.
MK127 what?
GS. And I'm looking at it right now. SATA.
MK1637 GSX, 160 gigabyte capacity, 3.5 inch form factor. Obviously not it. Oh no, it's a 2.5 inch drive. But it is definitely not an SSD.
Right, and I didn't think it was, because I think I had to pull it out. This might have been the drive that was in my old No, it couldn't have been that drive. It might have been. Oh, what was the what's the company? The company Manfred doesn't like them. Out in
System 76.
System 76. Yeah, not that Manfred doesn't like them. He had problems because of like a credit card thing or whatever. But yeah, this I'm wondering if this is the old disc from the System 76. Because this thing is. The disk is probably like 5 years older than the computer, at least.
You can get an SSD for like, what, $20?
Yeah, maybe 64 gig or higher.
No, 120 gig for $20.
Yeah.
You know what? Maybe I'd double that and go with the 240 gig for $40, right?
Do it.
Or get a 512.
Get a little wild.
And also, you should check and see on your board itself, because if it's got like a WAN slot on the inside for like your SIM cards, you can usually pull that and put a 2232 in there. 2230 and a 2242. So like a 2230 in that slot, and that'll get you some pretty good speeds. It'll get you the almost M.2 speeds, but not quite.
Oh, let's go back down. Let's see. What is it? So I have a SATA controller in here. Man, it's been so long since I did any of this hardware stuff.
Fucked around with hardware?
Yeah. Let's see. Damn, a Western Digital 1 terabyte drive.
Mm-hmm.
74 dot. Well, wait. I have to match it with what version of SATA I have, don't I?
No, you don't. It'll just be slower than it could potentially be. That's all.
So a SATA 3 would work in just a regular SATA.
Yeah. It'll just be a third.
$109. Yeah, Samsung 870 Evo for $109.
For what? What's the size of that?
It's on Amazon. $109.
For like, what's the size?
1 terabyte.
Oh. See, I don't need a terabyte. That's just... So why
do you have a disk drive in there?
500 gig is 60.
Like, do you have a CD drive on there?
I do believe I do, yes. I feel it right there. There is. It's a DVD rewriter.
You don't need that. You don't need that.
I know you don't need that.
Put it in another hard drive.
Yeah, I see a couple of hard drives on here. You know what?
I'm not kidding. Yank that thing out.
I have
used it. And put
it
in another hard drive.
Yeah, but I've used it.
You don't need that.
I'm not like...
You also buy a converter so you can turn your DVD drive into an external DVD drive, and then you have two internal drives.
You know, storage really isn't a problem if I would partition properly, number one. And number two, I wouldn't keep all the archives of the Tech Show shows on here because I haven't uploaded them to archive.org yet.
Well, you know, then you get a couple of terabyte hard drive and you're good to go.
Well,
yep.
Woo.
I should probably get... I have a free slot in this laptop. I probably should get that and... get one of those, another NVMe, and stick it in there. At least I can do that with this laptop.
I wonder if what the network card is on here.
Old.
Old is probably right.
But replaceable.
Right.
Get 5 gigahertz on there, easy enough.
It's got a webcam, the integrated webcam.
Both gigs are, what is it, both megapixels of it.
Right.
Oh, communication controller. That's not the NIC, is it? No.
Or Dan can just buy a new laptop.
Look at that. It's got a DVD RAM writer. DVD plus RW. Remember when you used to have like DVD or like CD and then CD minus CRW and CD plus RW and different?
Yep.
Yeah. Oh my goodness.
And it all sucked.
Oh, we got wireless interface, Intel Corporation 3160.
Yep.
And then it looks like Realtek 810XE PCI Express Fast Ethernet Controller. That's got to be a 10 base T. Remember that?
The hit.
10 base. That's what we were talking about last week, wasn't it? 10 base T with the barrel controller.
Thinnet. Yep.
Yep, thinnet.
Actually, that's a 10. That's not 10 base T. That's a 2 base T, I think.
Oh, wait. Yeah, you're right. Wait. 10 base T. 2 base.
I'm sorry. 10 base 2.
Somebody the other day was talking about USB DOMs, the disk on modules.
Oh.
That you put inside, like, on a USB 2.0, the internal header. And so I was looking at them, and, like, the largest I can find is 32 gig. So what's the point then?
What is it?
It's an SSD that has a USB 2.0 interface, but it's the internal connector on a motherboard. So basically, you can hook up an SSD on your motherboard, except using one of your unused USB 2.0 slots.
And it's called disk on module?
Yeah. But since they only come in like max size of like 32 gig or 64 gig, it seems kind of pointless.
Fuck it. Saving my money.
Yep.
I'm gonna sell all this shit, get a desktop like Pat did, and be happy.
Happy, happy, happy. It's not like you go anywhere anymore, huh?
It's not like I take... It's not like this laptop is seen anywhere up, you know, off of this table in 5 years either. Well, actually, that's not true. I brought it up when I set up the computer. I mean, the printer.
You probably brought it up for self, right?
Huh?
Didn't you take it to self?
Oh, my laptop? Yeah, oh, yeah. So it's probably left... Did you want... It's probably left my its location maybe 5 or 6 times in the past decade. I would almost say. Anyway, next topic. No more to talk about this old crusty laptop that served me very well.
This old laptop. Yep. You know, I did for the first time this weekend, Dan. I clay barred my car.
You what?
Clay barred my Traverse. It basically a clay bar is basically you start with the surface that's wet, and you usually put down like a detailer, like auto detailer spray. And then you just rub it on the car, and then you dry it off, okay? And essentially what it does is it'll pull out all the impurities out of the paint, you know, like the dust and grime and stuff that just it's embedded to the paint that you can't get off of it. I'm
sorry, dude, what? How well does that work?
I think it works pretty good, pretty well. I mean, it basically will result in that, like, a real, like, fine... smooth finish. And I did that Sunday as well as, and I want to, and it's funny too, I was going to give it its first waxing because I'd never done that yet on this car. And I was looking for just the traditional, you know, the wax you have in a bottle that you just rub on and then you wipe off, you know.
Turtle
and I
wax.
Couldn't find anything. Yeah, kind of like that. Yeah, that, in fact, that's the only thing I could find was turtle wax. I didn't, the Walmart didn't have anything but, other than that turtle wax, which I don't like, but they had like a spray wax. So,
were you looking for the one that used to come with like in the wide jar, or whatever, with the buffing cloth or whatever in it?
It could be, no. It's more like in a bottle, like similar to what Soft Scrub comes in, but it's actually Carnauba wax.
Okay.
You know? Couldn't find anything like that there. So I'm like, has it been that long since I waxed the car that the old stuff is gone? I guess it is, but I did that too after that, so, which means I had to spray it down again because you had to start with the spray wax with it wet, but you just spray it on and then you spray it off. There's no rubbing it to get off. It came out okay, and we had some rain, and I didn't drive it in the rain, so we had some rain like the next day, of course, you know. Because that's what always happens.
Yeah, it's too bad you can't check something like the weather report, right?
Right. But since I didn't drive it anywhere, it really didn't do anything. You know, it looked fine when I went to go. I just went to run the Kroger's to get some goodies. I wanted to get some cereal for the morning for breakfast because
When you put the what's the first stuff called?
It's a clay bar.
And clay bar.
Essentially,
You just rub that on there, or you spray it on.
You spray on some detailing spray, which like you might use that like if you're trying to keep your car look nice between washings. But then you rub it on top of where you sprayed it, and then you just dry it off. So, and it's kind of sticky, like kind of feels not sticky, but like sticky enough it'll pull that stuff out of the paint. And yeah, it feels a lot smoother to me anyway, but the only thing is the kit I had like 3 bars and 1 bottle of the detailing spray, and then it came with like a little towel too. And what I ended up doing with that, and you're also supposed to do it like in the shade or in the, and that's going to be difficult for me where I have to wash my car. But it was a good day for it. It was in the 80s in Ohio in April, which is pretty rare. But I basically worked on it from the time I got out of church until dinner time. And vacuumed out and cleaned out the inside.
That's a lot of time. Like, wait, what time did you get out of church? Don't tell me you like got out of church at like 4:30 and then dinner was at 6. What time?
No, 2:00.
Two o'clock. Oh, well, you know that's only.
Yeah,
3 hours,
actually had right? they actually had a luncheon for volunteers at the church, and we had some pulled pork, which is pretty damn good, but. Yeah, so then I got out and I made a pit stop at Walmart to pick up some pick up that stuff, the clay bar and the wax, and I bought another bottle of car wash stuff because it's. And then the other thing I need to do is they had these 2 hoses that they just left with the house because our yard, our grass wasn't quite established yet after we closed, and so we had to keep watering it, and the one that, I don't know if it's the one I used in the garage, but I think what I need to do on that one, I had it cranked down all the way on the spigot, but it still kind of leaked out a little bit around the top. So I need to probably, next time I go to Walmart, grab some of those hose washers to put in the end of it so that it doesn't leak out. I mean, it's not a lot. It's just dribbling out, but it gets all over the garage floor, and you know that. I don't like that, so. But it's easier to wash that than to go. And the drive-through car washes can work, but it's like I want to keep this car until the dang thing falls apart and not by me hitting something. But so I want to keep it looking nice, and I've been real good at keeping the trash and stuff out of it. You know, like if I'm drinking a pop or something, I'll remember to grab it after I get out of the car and throw it out if it's empty. And Luke washed his Trailblazer too. I helped him wash that too. It's kind of cool because Luke and I both got to work on it, and he helped me with mine, and I helped him with his. So, kind of a good father-son thing. And the Columbus area is going to be down 1 bowling alley after the 30th. The it's the one that he bowled at when he was in high school. That was like their home alley.
Uh-huh.
Capri Lanes. The owners wanted to buy it for $200,000, but a church group called National Church Resources, they usually build a lot of homes and stuff for senior citizens. They bought it for like 4 times that much, and they're going to tear it down and they're going to build like senior homes there.
So you're moving into the senior homes next? What, you didn't throw your bid in?
No, I'm not, but...
You didn't throw your bid in?
No, I couldn't. I think they went above a million.
You don't have that just lying around?
No.
Thought you had the big bucks.
Well, I'll make enough.
Oh, yeah.
Let's see. Yeah, this the alley was there for over 50 years.
The alley was there over 50 years? Wait, where is this going
The bowling alley, yeah.
Oh, they're replacing the bowling alley with an old folks' home.
Get it declared, basically. Now that they've paid for it, get it declared a historical site and make it so that they can't knock it down.
There you go. In that particular area of Columbus, National Church Residences, they had invested more than $48 million in the area. So... yeah, and it's really old.
The end of the bowling alley.
Yeah.
Is that the closest one to your house?
No, there's one closer.
Ah, so then hell with it, right? Who cares about that one?
Not really, but I mean, this is the one when Luke bowled in a no-tap tournament and got a 300. That's where he bowled it, was there.
Oh, well, in that case, you should buy it as a present for him for his next birthday. It's the whole bowling alley.
No. But, yeah, it's kind of sad.
That is. That's a bummer. What? I'm just curious, like, just a quick answer. What is it that, like, attracted your son to bowling? Do you know?
You know, he won't admit it, but Wii Sports.
Oh, cool. That's
speaking of that, the sequel to Wii Sports finally came out on the Switch.
I heard that was coming out.
And it looks really fantastic, too. I'm wondering how well it would work if you just put the Switch on a stand and just use the what do they call the controllers on the end? I can't remember.
The Wiimotes.
That's not what they call them.
The Joy-Cons.
Joy-Cons, yeah.
Yeah, I'm sorry. Yeah,
uses. Yeah, that's what it uses for its motion.
Well, couldn't you just have it hooked up to a TV?
Well, yeah. You have it in a dock, too. But I don't know. Could you use Wiimotes with a Switch? I'd never tried. I don't have one yet.
Well, I mean, you. I don't know if you use Wiimotes, but you can use the Joy-Cons with the Switch hooked to a TV.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Here's how it went down. It says, when he heard the landlord wanted to sell the property, Thompson, the guy who owns the business, who's leasing the building, he made an offer of $200,000. But that verbal agreement fell through after a much larger offer come from National Church Residences. They didn't say how much, but it's definitely, if it says much larger, it's probably at least double or more. Because they're probably going to tear up the parking lot and everything there and redo it all. My father-in-law, he lives in a place like that. Although they have, it's kind of strange how they have it set up. They have like a big building that's like a kind of like a high-rise apartment, but then all surrounding it, they have these little one-floor units that are more like an apartment, you know. But it has like the same kind of emergency cords like what you see in the hospital, you know, so that if you fall or something, you can yank the cord and the nurse or somebody will come and help you. But he's got that in his own bathroom. So, and he's been there for Now I'm thinking about it. It's been a while since he moved there after he... I'm trying to think if he was married to my first, second mother-in-law. So, and because he had moved into like just a small one-bedroom studio style, not far from where his house, that his old house was, but when he was with Charlotte, my mother-in-law, before she passed, they were in a, like a regular apartment. I'm glad that they don't do apartments anymore. They suck. So what you got going on other than the election, Joe?
Not much. It takes up basically all of my time. I mean, that and work. Still waiting on the transfer at work.
Do you become what, manager?
No, I won't be a manager at that point. Basically, this is a lateral move. But I'll be in charge of just as many people.
Yay. But it's better to stay employed.
Yeah. Well, I could stay in my position that I'm currently in, but there's not really going to be any upward momentum. And I'm bored. I need something new to do.
Yeah.
I mean, I could move on from the company. About it.
Yeah.
Dun 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 dun.
Southeast Linux Web's Fest website is down for updates, so it looks like it's
wasn't it down happen. For updates last week?
Yeah, it's yeah. Still down.
They're only 2 months away.
I know, right?
Is it running on a Windows ActiveX server and they're having problems?
IIS.
Oh, baby.
At least they're not using Front Page.
Oh, my goodness. I remember Front Page.
Yeah.
That was...
Everyone...
Wasn't Front Page part of... It was part Office of Microsoft at Office at one point, yeah. Wasn't it? And it was... it wasn't like... The home user version, right? It was the next, like the next version up, the little more expensive one, I think. When Microsoft's Front Page came into that, I remember Dreamweaver too. Oh my goodness, Dreamweaver!
Oh yeah.
Let me see. Is Microsoft Front Page
download?
Is this still...
Download Microsoft Front Page HTML tools.
Man, it was in Microsoft Office Suite from 1997 to 2003. You can download it now?
Yep.
It still exists?
Yeah, date published January 7th, 2003.
Wow. I wonder if that'll run under Wine. I'm not going to try it. Not that I care.
Oh, I know, right? It was awful. I think I probably coded my first GeoCities site in that or by hand. Yeah, it requires Windows 95, Windows 98, Windows NT, or Windows XP. Front Page for Office XP. That is funny. It's like so many YouTube channels that started out as they started out using a Windows Movie Maker. That's funny stuff, man. Yeah, and it used to belong to a company in '95. It belonged to a company called Vermeer. and Microsoft bought it.
I remember messing around with WYSIWYG editors.
Yeah, they're all awful.
There was one that I used that wasn't too bad, and I can't remember what the heck it was. Like, there was Bluefish, which worked out pretty. That was decent, but that was more like, I don't know if I would have called that a WYSIWYG editor. Unless it's changed significantly since I said, was it Amaya one? AMAYA?
No, Amaya was, what was Amaya?
Yeah, Amaya. AMAYA is a web editor. It's the W3C.
Oh.
It was discontinued. Yeah. Oh my goodness. When was it? The final release was in January 18th of 2012. I remember messing around with Amaya. That was pretty decent. I like that. You're thinking of Maya.
Yeah. Maya, that's the 3D graphics app.
Yep. And
that I think they use for Babylon 5, if I remember right.
Wait a minute. I thought Blender, didn't that start off as a 3D?
Still is.
Modeling, and it's a video editor too?
You can use it as one, but it usually takes a lot of setup, and it's hence the reason I've never used it for editing video.
Yeah, Blender is not an easy thing to use. Of course,
nope.
It's a professional grade, you know, 3D animation software. So you, of course, it's not. You can make full featured movies with it. Of course, it's not going to be easy to set up. I don't know. Are any of those easy to use and set up?
For 3D rendering? Eh.
Well,
you can do some of that with After Effects, I think.
Blender, I don't think Blender's hard to set up. It's just hard to use if you don't know what you're doing. Yeah. Like, you just go in and you don't have any of the, like, not bad, you know, that little bit of 3D animation education, knowledge in there, you're going to have yourself a hell of a time on Blender.
Yeah, I had to do, animate a robot using Maya for a class I took. For the class itself was free to me. The software was also free to me.
How long ago was that?
I was still at Columbus State, so it's been before 2014. So...
I remember when I did the Star Wars Death Star trench scene in Blender for a Linux for a lug meeting to show off Blender, and it wasn't anything special. It was more like watching the. Not the movie, but the original arcade game where it was like the line graphics type thing.
Oh,
it was kind of closer to that. Yeah, it wasn't anything special. But it just came in. I think I just had a TIE fighter come in down into the trench and go like down under some stuff. And that was it. Yep. That took a long time just for me to figure out how to do that.
Yep.
But it was...
It's like we were talking about in our work Slack channel, we have like a happy hour channel where it's basically our shoot the shit channel, you know? Anything not work. And we were talking about graphics cards and all that, and I said... If I were to build a desktop, it would probably have a hefty graphics card and a whole mess of storage. Because what I'd probably do is you can't, with After Effects, you can set up After Effects kind of like you can use the Adobe Media Encoder to basically offload the rendering to more than one machine, so to a render farm, kind of. So that should speed up the rendering. It would depend on how complex your scene was in After Effects. So I've played around with that before. Like, I've animated some logos and stuff with it. And I did a lot of that, actually, on my Surface Pro 6, which doesn't even have a great graphics card. But I did see that, you know, when we're talking about Intel graphics cards, they're going to start making some discrete graphics cards now. Trying to remember what they call it now. It's not Iris, it's something else. But that's kind of interesting. It probably won't ever compete with NVIDIA or AMD, but... But anywho, it is getting to be late.
Yeah.
10 o'clock. So right now, planning on going to Southeast Linux Fest. I think once the show's website's updated, I'm going to give the hotel a call and start working on the reservation. And if it's not going to go down, like I was just looking on their website directly, the Sheraton website, it was like $157 a night, and I'm like, holy crap. All right. So what I may do instead is there's a couple Airbnbs not too far from there. I may try that. But it has to be one of the ones, like, the thing with Airbnb is a lot of times you can get, like, a whole house, which that's kind of what I'm looking for, because then that way you're not going to have the owner poking around, and, you know, you get a little privacy. You know, but some of them, though, have, like, you get a room and that's it. And it's like, yeah, that's kind of not what I want. At least not when the owner's hanging around and outside the room.
Well, if it's cheaper than a hotel room.
Right. Well, that's the key there. The one I was looking at was like $107 a night, which is not horrible. There's one more closer to downtown, like right next to the stadium, that's right in and around there, and it even has a pool, so, you know, and you have a full kitchen and everything, so it's like, yeah, that would be fine. Little bit of a drive to go to the show, but, you know, I don't drink anyway, so it's like, once the show's done, I just wouldn't hang out as much, you know, like I usually would. We'll see. I don't know. I'm kind of hoping that when I call the Sheraton direct and talk to them right in Charlotte, that they have a better show price than $157 a night, because that's a little bit on the expensive side. And it's not really, I mean, Dan's been there before. There's like a couple of restaurants not far from there. There's like a Bojangles. It's right around the corner from there. But after that, there's not a whole lot to do. So. But my hope, though, is maybe if I do that, I can grab that one that has the pool in it. I have to look and see. That might not be big enough if I want to have Misty and Luke come down. But I figure if we go to that one, though, at least they can just hang out at the pool all day. I guess there's a pool at the Sheraton, too. Nice one, too. I don't know. But I think it's probably just going to be me, though, which is fine. I like going on a solo drive every once in a while. It's just, I mean, isn't that just nice, Dan, to just kind of drive for hours in a direction and you don't have anybody in the car but you sometimes?
Not all the time. I don't know. I get bored with myself in the car.
I don't. Solitude sometimes. Yes, we do. It's time to
go. We gotta wrap this up. You got some security stuff to fix.
We're almost there, but then hopefully it doesn't happen again this week.
That's what you need, is another security flaw.
Yeah.
Alright. Thank you, everybody. We'll see you in a week. Good luck with everything that's going on. May. Next show is in May, isn't it?
It's yes. gonna be May.
Yeah. All right. Here we go. Your promo.
I am short.
Oh my God! It's Hacker
Public Radio. Hacker Public Radio is a daily podcast by the hacker community for the hacker community. If you're interested in technology, creative thinking, hacking, Linux, or any kind of computer, that kind of stuff, you should listen to Hacker Public Radio at hackerpublicradio.com.
Hello, my name is Matt, and I started a new podcast called LibreQuest. I talk about Linux and general technical topics. To get the show, visit LibreQuest.org.
So we can paint anything we want?
Anything at all.
How about if I paint your fine ass? Yeah, with my tongue brush.
Shut up.
Shut up.
Daddy has a gun!
It's over.
Well, you were making egg bouillon in the kitchen. I was in the dining room having sushi.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Sounds about right.
That's right, man.
Bam. Bam. Bam.
Da-na-na-na. I need some good weather this weekend. I don't think I'm going to get it.
What? What's wrong with your weather this weekend? Our weather's looking really good.
It's going to go to 32 tonight.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, in April. And let's see. So the lows are 32, 38, 45. And then we're above the 50s at night. And Monday is going to be in the 70s. But Saturday and Sunday have rain, 30% chance. So Saturday might be okay. But then there's Sunday, it's 69. It's going to have thunderstorms. So, but my grass looks great. And I think they cut it today. And that's just the best part about living here.
I like to cut my own grass, motherfucker.
I don't. I'm getting too old for this shit. It looks nice, though. It's nice and green. Probably the best lawn I've ever had living here in the house I've owned. I just have... The one thing I hope... There's this... there's a couple ponds in the neighborhood. There's one that's kind of down a hill, like right behind where our mailboxes are. And it's got a trail. And it looks like it's supposed to eventually connect. Like there might, there's a, like a park with a playground and stuff not far from here. And they might connect it to that and connect it so like I could walk through that and then maybe over to the one of the other neighborhoods from here. But right now it just goes all the way down this hill, and at the bottom of, or at the end of the quote unquote trail, there's just an asphalt bump, and that's it. It stops. It's like, yeah, he's finished that. But, and I doubt they'll put fish in those ponds. But I did this winter there was some kids skating on the pond. Me on ice skates, it would not be pretty right now. Anywho.
Why is that? Well, yeah, because there's no ice.
Because my ankles suck.
What's wrong with your ankle?
I'm just quite ready for it to be over.
Not having second thoughts, are you?
No. I'm just quite ready for it to be over.
All right.
Campaigning sucks.
Yeah, so do security vulnerabilities, which is stuff I've been dealing with all week.
So, Joe, do you think the amount of work you're going to have to do in this position is nothing compared to the amount of campaigning you had to do to get it?
I'm pretty sure that's the case, yes. At least I hope it's the goddamn case.
Usually is.
Who wants to work two full-time jobs while only getting paid for one of them?
Well, welcome to motherhood. Because that's what my wife says all the time.
No, but she gets paid to do it.
Only half time for it, yeah. I mean, she doesn't get paid for 24 hours a day. But yeah, I got on work yesterday at 7:30, did not get off till 10 o'clock. Really wish I could talk more about it, but I can talk about
NDA.
Well, the vulnerability is an open source software, believe it or not.
Oh, what is it now? Because I'll probably have to hear about it. WSO2. Oh.
Which is a single sign-on thingy. And there's a vulnerability where you can upload files remotely to the server. Glory.
That sounds terrible.
Oh, it is.
How easy is it to...
Must be very easy. That's all I'm going to say. Hence, I had 12, 13, 14 hour day yesterday. Now, granted, that took breaks in there, so it wasn't all 14 hours looking at this thing.
I had a really good supper.
I did too. I had hot dog.
I took some, broccoli stir fry and fried that up with some orange ginger marinade and fried up some orange chicken and put those together, and it was really good.
It sounds really good.
Do it again.
Debating if I want to look at what.
Look at this email from DP. Precious David. Ooh. Greetings. I'm Precious David. Please, I wish to communicate with you. I will be expecting your reply from.
Yeah. They went away for a while, but like two or three times today, I got a fucking group text spam.
Oh, I've been getting so many of those.
From the VZ text thing.
$50,000. Oh, yeah, that's annoying,
man. Well, now the worst part is it goes out as a group text, and idiots who don't want it will say stop and send another fucking group text.
Yep. Yep. And then I've been getting a lot of the "Do you want to refinance your home loan?" phone calls.
Right.
I just want to take a minute to give you a free quote.
Look at guess what? We made it.
Kicking butt.
We made it. We are this person, Gerald Graham, I guess. He's happy to announce that the Linux Link has been selected as the winner for the 2022 Best of Bethlehem Awards in the category of software companies. Not a software company.
Wow.
Not in Bethlehem.
Well, at one point you were, I think, right?
Yeah, but the 2022 Best of Bethlehem Software Company Award?
Somewhere in your metadata it says Bethlehem.
We can supply you with a digital award image made during our award production process at no charge for use on your website or social marketing.
Mm-hmm.
Yay.
We just need your bank account numbers.
And my social security.
And your social
I finally
security.
Figured out how to stem some of the tide on. I used to get a lot of the camho crap on Instagram, you know. And I figured out a way to stem that crap. I basically said nobody can send me a message unless people there are my friend, and I won't friend them. So yeah, bye. You know, pretty ass picture. All right. No posts. And it's a private account. Yeah, bye. I'm 51 years old, and there's no way a 20-something would find me at all attractive. And I'm fine with that.
You don't have enough in your wallet.
I don't have enough. I don't have Elon Musk money.
To a 20-year-old.
Yeah, I don't have Elon Musk money. That's about the only way I can do that. Oh, I busted my fan on my 3D printer today.
That sucks.
I could probably fix it, but I just ordered the whole hot end is like $30. I'm like, you know what?
Yeah.
Just get another one, and then I can take this one and when another one I have, and cobble it together and have a backup.
Yeah.
But in the meantime, I could
have extra parts too.
Oh,
so
I,
even if you decide to fix that fan later, at least right. You'll have the extra parts. And then, you know, when the new one you ordered falls apart, you got the other one ready to go.
I got some, like, basically what happened is I got some spaghetti in it, you know?
I have no idea how you would have gotten spaghetti into a fan on your 3D printer.
3D printing spaghetti. Yeah, so it just kind of globbed up all over the hot end, and
no,
it was on every freaking side.
No, it wasn't spaghetti for me on one of my hot ends. It was, I guess the nozzle had worked itself loose.
Ooh, never good.
And just a little bit loose, and the end had gotten a little bit clogged, and so it kind of all squidged out around the threads. And cemented the whole thing
together. There's no saving stuff like that.
Yeah.
I mean, if you had the patience and a blowtorch, you can probably do it, but...
It wasn't worth it.
Yeah.
I mean...
as cheap as the parts are, who gives a shit?
The block, the heating block that is on that is not that expensive.
Right. You know, you're talking...
$10. Well, maybe.
Yeah, maybe if you just had to replace the heating block, yeah. But
well, in the end, that would have been the heating block, the heating elements, and the
nozzle, probably
the thermistor, the nozzle, of course. But you know, when you got 20 nozzles sitting around anyway,
yeah, you can get what, like 30 or 40 of them for like $10.
Yeah, I mean, it's cheaper to buy them in sets, and eventually you're gonna go through them, so.
Oh, definitely. That's like some people say, well, why are you running the glow in the dark stuff? Isn't that refund a nozzle? I'm like, a nozzle's like not even a dollar. I don't care.
Right? Oh, no, I had to replace my nozzle. Must be Tuesday.
Right? Right? Yeah. It's crazy, you know. It's just like, you know, people who complain about, like, I'm in this local group and mostly there for the fun because people are in there are ridiculous. You know, like someone had a problem with the bank, so they posted their little rant in the community group. I'm like, is this any of our fucking business? Why are you posting this shit here? Go talk to the bank. Leave us alone. That's what I wanted to say. It's not what I said, though. And I said, I tried to order KFC the other night, and they didn't have any chicken. Do you think I'm going to post that? They literally had no chicken. I'm like, really?
At KFC?
Like, your KFC,
yeah.
How can you not have chicken?
Exactly. Either that, or maybe they just didn't make enough that day. Who the fuck knows? Of course, our little joke in here is there's the Arby's on 665 that almost never has the meats. So we keep saying we're going to go through the drive-thru and say, do you have the meats today? And then if they say yes, then I'll say, okay, good, bye.
That's too bad. I didn't bring my money.
Right. I'll tell everybody on Facebook.
only Wednesday.
I know, right?
Oh, I want it to be.
It's also 8:40. Let's kick this pig, man.
Oh, and Pat gets to go first.
Absolutely.
Pat's got his stuff to talk about today.
Yep, I got my new machine file.
Nice.
Got a new audio interface.
You got to give us the full rundown on the machine, though.
I keep forgetting I'm muted. 9:52. Somebody want to give us a count around?